Hello, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
And how are we today?
Oh, we're well. We are missing the sunshine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a bit gray.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? That's January.
That's right. But maybe today we'll talk about strategies to overcome the grayness.
Hey, nice segue.
Oh, yeah.
When was the last time that you played with childhood abandon?
Oh, let's see. Childhood abandon.
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably been a while. But let's see, I went skiing on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, you know, sliding down the hill on boards?
Yes.
That's play.
It's like, yeah. Like, technical tobogganing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was lovely, although also a bit foggy, so I had to, I wish I had got better goggles because I couldn't really see what was snow and what was ice.
You know what? I don't think good goggles really helps when it's foggy.
No, I guess not. Eh?
You just kind of have to go and trust that you know the run enough to know that you're going to land at the bottom safely.
Right. But when it was all said and done, I felt great and motivated and enjoyed myself and we laughed and it was great.
Yeah. Well, today's show is all about play.
That's right. The art of play.
Yeah. And we don't do it enough. This is the result of my conclusion after doing a little research on adult play, because we were planning on talking about children at play quite a lot, because Unplug and Play Week is coming up.
Yes, it is.
And we want to offer lots of ideas for all of the things you can do rather than being plugged into your device. But adult play became a big part of what I looked into because for some reason we just don't play enough.
No, we don't play enough. And so when the meeting is recessed, it should really be everybody go out for recess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's being recognized in big corporate offices, some places, like some corporations have like ping pong tables, what's that stuff called? Foosball machine.
Foosball.
And basketball hoops out in the parking lot. You know, they understand that there actually is a need to play and that it boosts innovation and creativity.
It's not superficial and extra.
No.
It's critical to
it's good for everyone's health and it's good for productivity.
That's right. It's great for productivity.
So there is some understanding of it, but most workplaces are not set up for that.
Yeah.
And most adults time, like most of the way that we run our lives isn't set up to put aside time for play.
Well, we're very busy, very important.
Well, yes, very,
very, very important.
I'm sorry, I have too much to do.
Meetings and phone calls and memos. And
dinner to prepare.
Dinner.
And groceries to get.
Yeah.
And errands to run.
I know, we have to infuse more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's about happiness and health, but it's also about productivity and living a more meaningful, deeper life, right?
It is.
There's fun in everything.
There is.
Even recycling and taking the garbage out, and, right?
Yeah.
Look for the fun.
That's right. Look for the fun and game. Okay, well, then let's start just right at the beginning, though, because, of course, I'd like to come at everything from the art angle. And play has played an important role in the art world, too.
Ooh, nice one. Nice pun.
Well,
is it a pun?
Yeah. I don't know.
Play has played. No, it's lovely. Well done.
Well,
excellent turn of phrase.
When I'm a big fan of the Impressionist movement, and of course, following the Impressionists were the Fauvists and the Cubists, and you know, so they all kind of inspired a huge shift in the art world. But I just want to argue that Picasso and Duchamp and those guys had a huge influence. Like probably the biggest shift in the art world happened during their time.
Mm-hmm.
I think because of their willingness to play.
Yes.
To really explore and throw out all the rules and have fun and do crazy things that you think were not even possible, and to not care what other people think of you, to just do and see what turns out.
Right. So the so what element. So what? Let's try this.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they did, and they basically invented, you know, cubism, collage, like the ready-mades, all that kind of stuff came out of that era, all because of play.
All because of play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a lot of things have happened because of play. We're learning so much about how, you know, you talk about the importance of play for adults. But we know, and statistics and research has shown this, that those early years, 0 to 5, the kind of play that your children engage in is very, is an indicator of how they'll do later on in life.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
And we might be doing it wrong.
We might be doing it wrong now. Yeah. because I don't know, maybe we focused on the wrong things for a few years. Yeah.
I think it comes down to structured play versus unstructured play. So yeah. There has to be a combination.
We all know about this, the helicopter parents, mm-hmm. they're snow plowing the way for their kids, right? Mm-hmm.
Ooh, snow plowing.
Well, that was a fresh term I just saw on a Globe and Mail article.
Getting stuff out of their way.
Yeah, yeah. Making it a clear path. Here mm-hmm. you go. I'm taking you to dance. I'm taking you to hockey. I'm taking you to soccer. I'm taking you to piano lessons. And so we've plowed this road mm-hmm. that is nice and straight for mm-hmm. these kids. And they have no idea that there's any other way to go.
Right.
And they don't know how to imagine other possibilities.
Yeah, and the imagination part is so
that's
important.
The factor that's kind of yeah. missing.
I think... yeah, I feel like sometimes we're robbing kids of that unstructured play mm-hmm. opportunity.
Well, and I think I've mentioned this before on this show about Wednesday on the Wharf, when mm-hmm. we get offers every year from groups who want to set up a craft tent or an activity tent for
structured.
The kids because yeah. they see the kids running around and they say, those kids chaos. Are running around with nothing to do.
Oh gosh, that's the best thing.
I know. Yeah. And I say, you know what? They are doing something. They're yeah. dancing.
Exactly. And what about, yeah, I mean, that's... Even if we think back to our own childhoods, unstructured play was more or less all there was.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Well, we were sent out in the morning and yeah. went home for lunch and
I know.
So home many, again for dinner. I mean,
you hear those stories all the time. I would go out after breakfast, come home for lunch. My parents had no idea where I was. Well, I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah.
For one.
Yeah.
I even said to my mom once, where were you? She said, what do you mean, where was I? I said, we would go out all day, leave after breakfast, and not come home till dinner. You had no idea where we were. She's like, really? We had no idea. What do you think we were doing? Watching you in the window, friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I thought, you know.
I know, because we were oblivious.
We were
wrapped up in our own imaginative play.
Making forts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inventing games, inventing whole yeah. societies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. like I was telling you earlier about the whole mess of kids that I grew up with in Toronto. I grew up in an apartment building that had several sort of several play areas.
Yes.
Grassy areas. We had a creek that was an industrial waste area. But anyway, and we would imagine all kinds of levels of society.
Totally.
And we'd create situations and wars. And like we'd have all kinds of things happen mm-hmm. in our society that was entirely constructed out of our own heads.
Yes.
And we would all remember our roles.
Yes.
And we would all continue on. Like we'd all go to bed that night and get up the next morning and continue right on.
Yes.
So there was no like, okay, somebody has to write this down and we have to get a book.
We have to Google it.
Yeah.
Right?
We didn't have to follow anyone else's rules.
No.
We just did.
No. And that's so important to form the pathways of effective decision making.
Yeah.
And it's how we socialize our young. And so there is, again, research. I just went to a meeting yesterday with the Early Childhood Committee, and there is research showing that in the province, there are vulnerabilities in terms of how well socialized kids are when they get to kindergarten. Mm. And so it becomes a challenge for the education system when there are kids who, yes, they can write their name and maybe even read a few words, but they don't know how to work in the circle.
Right.
Right. And those things, you know, it's not about valuing what's more important. It's about achieving some sort of balance.
And yeah.
I mean, I know when my kids were little, it did seem very structured. I mean, my kids were little when the whole baby Einstein thing was huge.
Yeah.
You have to make them listen to classical music and they must watch.
I actually, feel terrible guilt about that now.
I do too.
I
had them all.
I did. Yeah. I would stick my one daughter in her little bouncy chair in front of the baby Einstein for a half an hour while I made dinner.
Yes.
And now I feel like I addicted her to the screen.
And in a way, and this is now we have unplug and play because we have to kind of relearn as we go.
Yeah.
And the truth is, for children, their most important toy is
their parents.
Their parents. Mm-hmm. They love watching, and that's how they learn.
Yeah.
So my kids, I did that too, in the bouncy chair.
Yeah.
With the baby Einstein, while I did a load of laundry or made some dinner.
Yeah.
But really, if I just turned the chair a little bit and gave them a wooden spoon and a piece of Tupperware,
yeah,
they would have been just as happy.
I know.
I mean, they love that.
Why did we think we were doing something wonderful?
I don't know, because I think we're also socialized to think that we have to raise these hyper-intelligent accomplished human beings when there are so many examples of children who didn't, you know, either had that and it didn't work so well or didn't have that and went on to incredible. Well,
I mean, the fact that we are an innovative and brilliant race up to this point without having all of those things should prove that we don't need all of those things.
Unstructured play is so, and imaginative play.
Yes,
right?
That's the part, the pretend.
Yes.
The pretend is missing a lot these days. And we always have to have the thing, right? The toy and the thing that supports the idea of playing in this certain realm. Mm-hmm. We don't, we shouldn't focus on that anyway. No. We should just pretend.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think it seems to me as an adult, if I can't figure out quite what I'm doing, I do have the conscious thought, okay, let's just pretend I knew what I was doing. How would I do this?
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
And so sometimes that leads to breakthroughs for me.
Yeah.
Right. So I just kind of adopt that attitude. Well, I'll just pretend. Like I pretended when I was little that, you know.
Yeah. And but so if you don't know how to pretend, you can imagine how that would cripple you as an adult.
It's so challenging.
Yeah.
And sometimes with my own kids, I'll say, well, what do you think? Well, I don't know. Okay, well, what if you did know? What would you do? Well, I don't know. And that part frustrates me so much because I know that I know they know.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to keep having those conversations.
Yeah, the pathways are there. It's just that they haven't been using them because they haven't had to.
No.
So, and like when we're born, we've got this big crazy brain. It's all there.
Yeah.
But 75% of brain development happens after the birth.
Yes. And most of it is done by the time they're five.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's this crazy mess of pathways and neurons and everything happening, but it's not organized at all. We have to allow those things to be organized in such a way that will provide a lifetime of imaginative innovation and ideas and structure so that they can make their own structure.
It's so critical to society, really.
Yeah. Right? If we build it for them,
they'll never
go outside the box.
Yeah. I have to say we've, for the most part, abandoned all structured play, you know,
in your house,
in my house. We don't, we used to have something every night of the week.
Yeah.
Right. Monday was one thing. Tuesday was piano. Wednesday was soccer. Thursday was curling. Then we'd ski on the weekend. Or then there'd be soccer practices. Or we tried lacrosse. We tried football. I mean, I'm glad we tried everything at least once.
Yeah.
But for other reasons, we dropped them. And I just find that I feel closer to the boys, what's going on in their lives. I'd love to just let them play. I'm not about, you know, I'm not Julie cruise director on the Love Boat anymore.
Yeah.
You know, okay, well, let's do this. Okay, I know. No, when done do that, we'll do this.
See, that's what my favorite line was when the kids would ask me, well, I'm bored. What can I do? And I'm like, what am I? Your cruise director?
Yeah, exactly.
No, amuse yourself.
Yeah. And some of my favorite moments is listening to them make stories up. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the bad guy. Right. And I have web fingers and you have wings
and this rug is ocean.
Yes.
And
And don't touch the couch or when
it's a shark,
try and walk through the house without touching the floor. That's always amusing.
Sometimes
they bump.
I know. Okay. Well, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, let's talk about how to play with your children.
Yes.
Because this is something I think we've lost a little bit of guidance on.
Yes.
So, okay. Well, let's talk about how to play with your child. Mm-hmm. Here's the instruction booklet on when we're saying, don't take instructions, just go out and pretend.
Yeah.
But there actually is instructions.
And I would argue that each of us is an expert at play.
That's a good argument.
I mean,
I'm not going to argue with you about that.
I'm an expert at playing. You are an expert. We're all experts at playing.
Yeah.
It's just the kind of playing.
Yeah. And maybe we just don't recognize it.
I think so.
Yeah. And then we don't take opportunities to try new forms of play. That's the other thing too.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can talk about that
In
a few minutes, but what I really want to do is share some of the things to help you play with your child. The first thing is to give your child your undivided attention.
Mm.
So turn off the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Turn off your cell phone, get rid of all of the distractions, make sure that this playtime is just about you and your kid.
Yes, not about using the time to get the dishes done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also the cell phone business.
Oh, that multitasking. That's right. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Don't multi. It's not a multitasking thing.
So you can't be on the floor playing with your kid and texting your friend at the same time. No. Like, that's not it.
Eye to eye contact.
Yes. Yeah. And so that they know they've got you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Number two, get down to your child's level. Mm-hmm. So match them in their, like, where they are, the space.
Yes.
And also match their level of intensity.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they're loud and energetic, you be loud and energetic.
Nice.
Go crazy.
Yeah. Giggle.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. So that's an important one.
Yeah.
Number three, embrace repetition.
Yes.
You have to be okay with doing the same thing over over and over. Oh. It's okay.
Thomas the Train.
And it's okay. And it's terribly boring for us, but it's so important for the kid.
Yeah.
The repetition part is what helps them build the pathways that will last a lifetime.
Oh, you couldn't have found it boring.
No. I don't know. Well, you know what? When the kids were really, really little,
yeah.
I was at a loss sometimes about what to do with them all day.
All day?
I was thinking, oh my gosh. I'm,
now what do we do?
Like,
now
do we nap? Do? Nap? Yeah. Nap?
I know.
But it happens. It just happens, right? You just...
Yeah, you might even have... I remember making Thomas the Train, like, epic tracks with deep falls and, you know. And I would almost, like, I'm sure Matthew would be like, Mom, you're kind of taking over the game here, right? No, we have to do this. Right? So if you're doing it right, you're into it.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, with Thomas the Train, we built a train table.
Aww.
And so my biggest project was making things on the train table, right? Like painting the train table.
Oh, it would have been epic. Yeah.
And painting all the landscapes and then making little things that become part of the landscape.
Yeah.
Because that's what I do. Mm-hmm. And so the train was secondary.
Yeah.
It's this construction of this beautiful landscape that was, you know, our playtime.
And the storytelling and the laughing and the giggling.
And the plasticine, integrating plasticine into the Thomas the Train thing, that was pretty important.
Danger.
Oh, well, I mean, it was a bloody mess, I can tell you. But we also had 150 cats. Mr. Topham Hatt
might not have been happy about that.
No.
Because it causes confusion and delay.
we also had the most gigantic tree in the whole neighborhood. Aww. So, you know.
Nice.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Number four, let your children take the lead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let them become like the rule maker. Let them call the shots. And you can ask questions to figure your way along, but don't say, no, we can't do that.
We're not doing that.
Yeah.
Right.
Let them
do it. That's not how you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's toxic for kids.
It is, because how else are they going to learn that there's possibilities?
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're allowed to explore the possibilities.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And to build the confidence to be connected to the other humans so that they can, you know, bring their ideas forward. Because every kid is a genius, you know. They all are.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of nurturing it, I think.
Yeah. And you can imagine if you've always been told, no, you can't make up something. Mm-hmm. You have to follow this rule.
Or don't be silly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. That's tragic. Isn't it?
Don't be silly.
Awful.
Yeah, I haven't said that much. I have on occasion, but not that much.
We're just
so
to your
sensible. Yeah, grown-ups. It's so boring sometimes, you know?
Well, it is boring to be sensible.
And then how to play with the children is to not sort of define what type of play.
Yeah.
Right? So
Well, that's about letting them take the lead.
Yeah, and I worry a little bit about the genderization of toys, you know?
Yeah.
I think we talked about this before. When my boys were little, they loved cooking stuff, Tupperware, you know, spoons, just the strangest things they would take out of the cupboards. And I gave them a cupboard that they could, there was anything they wanted in there they could use.
Yeah.
It was safe. There was nothing sharp, no sharp items. And then I thought how fun it would be to have for them a mini kitchen in their room so they could play restaurant, because they used to bring me cappuccino. Matthew would say, Mommy, here's your cappuccino.
That's so cute.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I went out and I searched all the retail outlets I could think of, and I could only find girly princess stoves and fridges. And finally I found, blue and just primary colors, which is perfect. And they had so much fun with that thing. I mean, now looking back, if I'd have been smart, I'd have taken a cardboard box. Right, but we get kind of sucked into this.
We do.
Children have to have
the
IKEA-ized version of childhood. Not that I'm pro IKEA, but you know.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they really do love the cardboard boxes.
Mm-hmm. It works just as well.
Totally.
Yeah. How many city structures have been created with cardboard boxes, hey?
Exactly. Yeah. Or take them, maybe don't take them to a, you know, maybe they don't need to buy a toy so much. Take them, they could buy a puzzle, they could buy a game, they could.
Or take them to the back alley at the liquor store and you can get all the boxes,
Yeah. I know I took my, some kids were hanging out with me and we decided to do a craft and it was close to Father's Day. So I took them to the hardware store and gave them each like $3. Well, you can buy a lot of fun stuff for $3 at the hardware. You know, a bolt and a right, a fastener. And they made necklaces or something. It was so fun.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's very creative.
Well, you have to kind of push the boundary a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they remember that stuff. I don't think they remember the stuff that came from the store.
No, but the memories are made with when they are allowed to use all the parts of their brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and their heart.
Yeah, and their little brains, the neurons are firing and and they're problem solving and they're, you know. And let them disagree too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would always be so heartbroken if the boys would argue or have little, you know, dust-ups with their friends and now we have to apologize and you have to. And sometimes you just got to let them work it out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Tears and
I know this is the time for them to learn.
Yeah, because if they don't and then they get through high school and they graduate and they get to work, that's probably not where you want to be learning that lesson.
No.
No.
So all of this is critical.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one.
Okay.
Number 5, don't force play or try to prolong a game. So if, you know, if something's fun for you and they're done,
that's right.
Don't keep going.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, just this prolonging pain for them, right? And that's the other thing about possibilities is maybe they just want to try something new. They want a shift. They want a change. And you're like, no, this is working. That's not offering
we're not
them
done the game
possibilities.
Yet. Yeah. I know. And this beginning and end, maybe it's a schedule. Because as grown-ups, our whole life is compartmentalized. And from 9 till 10, I'll do my show. From 10 till 11, I'll do this, you know?
Yeah.
And kids don't have schedules.
It's not there yet, right? Like the clock doesn't mean anything to them.
I know. And I know that from a parenting perspective, you're supposed to get your kid on a schedule. Boy, I was not really good at that.
Well, it's another thing about balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be on a rough schedule and I think there's stability in that. They know that they're going to be fed at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
They know when the end of the day is so that they know, you know, bedtime is wind down time.
Yes.
I think some of those are beneficial, but certainly not, it's 10:30, time for a snack.
That's right.
It's like, well, if you're not hungry, why should you be eating?
Yeah. And I mean, it can mess kids up long term.
Yeah.
Like, believe it or not, there are children who don't know what hunger pangs are.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So they just don't understand. And then it affects their appetite.
Yeah.
Because if they don't know when they're hungry, then they don't know when they're full.
Wow.
I mean, I'm not advocating you wait till your child is, you know, in pain because they're so hungry. But they have to learn what thirst is, what hunger is.
Yeah.
When they're tired. Like my boys, I when we would get into rough situations, I would say, you don't know how tired you are. I'm not tired, mommy. Yes, honey, you're tired. No, I'm not. Right? And so that was a challenge in our house is to teach them to learn, okay, I'm tired.
Yeah.
And now they say, I'm tired, I'm going to bed. Awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it took a while to get there, but, right?
Yeah. 12 years, but that's okay.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Well,
but they know it.
Yeah. And if we over-schedule them or over-organize them, we're kind of robbing them of their opportunity to learn about themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because how many times are they tired and they still have something practice to go to? And, you know, there's got to be a recognition that sometimes, you know, I don't know, like it's just the understanding your body, using your body signals to actually communicate your needs in your life is, this is the time to learn it.
And, it's very fundamental.
And if it's been laid down for
them. Or relearn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can always relearn. Just pretend. Play.
Pretend we know it.
Let's pretend that we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last one is only if you really have difficulty finding the time to play with your child is to establish a playtime.
Yeah.
So that if you know for instance, like especially if you have young, very young kids, and you know that that after supper time is short, right? Like after supper is like an hour at the most, and then it's bedtime. Mm-hmm. You don't want to mess with the bedtime activity or the before supper time or whatever. Mm-hmm. You decide that that's your playtime. That is the time that really you're scheduling for yourself.
Yes.
It's not really scheduled for the kid. It's your time that you've said, I'm setting this aside for uninterrupted, undistracted, unstructured play.
Yes, unstructured play.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's so much. They learn so much about structure by unstructured play.
Yes.
And structure, I'm not saying it's not important to have structure, but... the only way to learn it is to be unstructured, right? So their little minds are learning how to make order out of chaos, because it must be chaotic being a baby. Like, what's that noise? What are those lights? Why does this feel this way, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Chaos. It's so funny. Yeah. And then I keep thinking about when like a lot of First Nations that have dancing and you know, structured dance movements as part of their... you know, ceremonies, you see all the little ones dressed the same, dressed in all of the proper attire and out there just kind of wandering around, looking at the adults' feet. And that's how they're learning.
Totally.
They're part of the ceremony from the get-go. They, mm-hmm. they don't have to go learn it, you know, take lessons until they're 12 and then you get to be part of the ceremony. No, you're just in there. You're in there like a dirty sock, just kind of doing it, watching it, playing around. Mm-hmm. And then eventually it becomes part of their fiber of their being, right? Because that they've been in it, submerged in it. And I just think, oh, that's, I they mean, can't, why can't we do that with
they don't know any different. They can't know different because they've always been in it.
Yeah.
I know. Why can't we? And then we tend to structure there's things for adults and things for like, this is child friendly or.
Yeah.
Or adult only, or I mean,
I know.
And I don't like to segregate that way. I mean, at my house, kids are always welcome.
Yeah.
Even at my office, people say, well, I have to drop my son at daycare or make child care arrangements. I'm like, pshaw, just come on over.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, it's like our board meetings.
Yeah,
right?
Those kids, our kids have been to a lot of board meetings.
Yeah, they were bored. But
I think they, you know.
But the understanding is that there's time when you just have to amuse yourself and be quiet, mm-hmm. not really loud and run around like a gymnasium. But the important part is that they were included in this time.
Yes.
And that there was, was freedom. There was flexibility in that.
When you're bored, that's an opportunity to learn something new.
Yeah.
Yeah. Figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Figure it out. Yeah. I am not your cruise director.
Exactly.
Okay.
Although, it would be nice to have a cruise director sometimes. I don't know. I don't like
that's
being
what
told
vacations
what to
are for. Yeah. Away from this
that's right.
every day.
Now you will play shuffleboard. Go.
But I don't want to play shuffleboard. Yeah. See, that's what my instant reaction would be.
I know.
I don't
and as grown
do
ups,
you want me
so
to do.
Focused on, we're going to play cards or we're going to play Scrabble or we're going to play Monopoly or.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like family game night. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm kind of thinking, okay, we used to do that, but it was pretty flexible, whatever. And now I'm thinking, oh, you know, our family movie nights have kind of taken over. So maybe we should institute a game night again. But then it's the same thing. I have to decide and, you know, decisions have to be made. I don't know. Maybe the flex needs to be there too.
Yeah.
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 So I just about want to have a game right now because here we are. We should have a little puzzle at the meeting.
We should.
Know? Yeah.
It's true.
Because
what could we do?
Talking about play makes me think that is what's missing from a lot of our structured activity. Mm-hmm. That if we just had the opportunity to play while we're at a meeting or while we're working, then we'd be practicing the art of play all the time.
All the time. Well, we are practicing it, I think, all the time. We're just very serious about it, right?
Yeah.
But they've done, again, they've done studies, offices with toys and games, the ethical behavior is higher.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, so like they maybe Wall Street people should be given little toys and games.
Yeah, a couple Pez dispensers, you know, maybe a, you know.
Yeah.
A game of Yahtzee, like something.
Yeah. Okay. So that's one of the things that is recommended for innovation and productivity is to have actual brain teasing puzzles. Mm-hmm.
Well, manipulatives.
Yeah.
So you can think, you know, that's why I think like people who doodle, I'm a doodler. Mm-hmm. Are you a doodler?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're playing, right? So we're using the information, and doodling helps you absorb the, right? It doesn't mean you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
It means that's how you're absorbing the information.
Yeah. And do you know what I think the biggest problem with the computer revolution is that, because I know at a meeting when I'm taking notes, I'm taking them right onto the computer. I have no doodling opportunity mm-hmm. on the computer. Mm-hmm. Whereas when you used to write notes,
yeah.
doodle, because you're writing. But now I'm just clicking. And so there's no opportunity.
The transfer of knowledge doesn't happen as easily. I know I can't take notes on the computer. Mm-hmm. I have to write them down. And then even when I teach, it's all, you know, when you teach now, I mean, they basically hand it to you on a plate. Here's your book. Here's your PowerPoint. Here's your quizzes. Here's your exam. It's like, it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I prep for my class, I still get my book and write it all out. Because if I don't write it, it's like it didn't.
Yeah, it's not real.
It's not real.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So improves brain function.
Absolutely.
Is a big benefit to playing at work. Also relieving stress.
Mm-hmm.
That's another big one,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, a lot of us build up stress over the course of the day, not even recognizing that that's what's happening. But play actually releases endorphins.
Yes.
And you're a big dopamine fan.
Oh, dopamine.
So between endorphins and dopamine, we're set.
Think of the things we could do.
Right? Yeah.
And, you know, laughter, communication, bonding. I mean, all the stuff that's important when 0 to 5 continues to be important in your grown-up relationships, whether with your spouse or your neighbors or your colleagues at work mm-hmm. or...
Well, that's the other one at work.
We're just so serious, and it doesn't make us frivolous to laugh and play.
No, not at all. There's no weakness or anything in that.
Like I'm always fascinated by the difference between fire halls and police stations.
Okay, why? What's the difference?
In the policing world, the officers are in the office to do paperwork, and then they're in their cruisers, sometimes by themselves, sometimes alone. In the fire department, they are together in the hall, making meals, sometimes sleeping there, right? So it's a completely different. So you ask someone, who do you like better? Cops or firemen? Right?
Yeah.
And so it's just about the nurturing relationships that exist.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think I think as a culture, we would be more appreciative, you know. So we tend to have this really positive relationship with a fire department.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to have a more aggressive relationship with, right? Even look at what's happening in the States.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Nobody ever protests the fire department. Right? And it's just because of the culture of being connected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think...
That's a big idea.
It's a pretty fundamental... Right? So I think it's very important for groups, like speaking of which, we just had our retreat on Sunday
mm-hmm.
at Wendy's home, and we had soup and conversation and muffins, and we shared ideas, and it was very meaningful, connected.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a very different kind of time than meetings, that's for sure.
Yes. Yeah. And so it's so important to make those
mm-hmm.
connections. And I would suggest that in some ways they're more valuable than formal.
Yeah. I think more, I mean, if you're looking at productivity, more long-term ideas come out of those kinds mm-hmm. of things because mm-hmm. you really, I mean, you're conversing around a topic. You're not trying to make a decision.
Yeah.
That's what meetings are for, right?
And
you go to make a decision.
And an office, to me, I mean, my office anyway, is bright and colorful. Everything has a place. There's like little stations, you know, mm-hmm. And there has to be time to just play and color. And Lego, and it sounds ridiculous, but if you think of if your grown-up life mirrors your childhood, right? So you're connected, you're fed, you're watered, you're rested, you have playtime, right? and some offices are so stark and ugh.
I want to renovate my office now.
Well, and I think we all should be thinking about mimicking all those important childhood lessons.
Yeah.
You know, so our job as grown-ups is to be good grown-up children, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Good grown-up children.
And I mean, think about the Google, you know, it's not an office, it's a campus.
Yeah.
And they have bicycles.
Well, I mean, the great example
food. and
is that's because there. They are learning, because that's a brand new mm-hmm. technology. Mm-hmm. So they're not, it's not just about producing a product, right? They're learning new things, and they have to create ideas mm-hmm. to start the, you know, the process of creating the new technology. So if you don't generate the idea, like if you're not in a creative, innovative space of, you know, frame of mind, mm-hmm. how are you ever going to start yeah. the process of getting the new technology, mm-hmm. right?
So, and we're all products of our environment. Look around at your environment. If it's beige and divided by, you know,
yeah,
cubicles,
yeah,
you know,
it's not, yeah, it's not helping.
It's not a bad thing, but it's an opportunity to,
yeah,
to have a more meaningful experience. Yeah. I think work should be meaningful.
Absolutely, yeah. It should. My gosh, and we should not be. Yeah, we should not be just pumping out widgets.
No,
you know, no. We should be making our world better.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think Google has embraced this. Apple has a campus, and literally, it's bicycles, cafeterias, those yoga balls. You know,
yeah,
foosball tables, open concept. Now, not everybody's into open concept workspaces, because that doesn't work for introverts, and
yeah,
introverts are critical to productivity, mm-hmm. And they need to be protected. But where was I going with this? Oh, just that at Google, so you're allotted 20% of your work time. So there's no start and stop. It's not like if you're not here at 8 o'clock, yeah. you're going to be reprimanded.
Yeah,
and 20% of your time can be allotted to a project that you want to work on.
Huh.
So you'll do your work, but then you also have this opportunity to do this other work.
Yeah.
Right?
That's awesome.
And it's all about team and relationship and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And well, connectivity is so important.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Yes.
Okay. And then the last big advantage to having play at work...
Yes.
...is that it keeps you feeling young and energetic.
Yeah.
So there's actually a physical reaction mm-hmm. to playing mm-hmm. that we all should have.
Mm-hmm. And it reduces healthcare costs and... Right?
Yeah.
Increases productivity.
Exactly.
It's a no-brainer.
I know, right? But how?
See, no-brainers are actually very smart things, aren't they?
They kind of are. But what is stopping us? This is the thing. Why did we stop playing? And what's stopping us from playing now? Like, what is the thing? Like, you know, I'm just thinking, okay, here's you on city council, and you're all sitting around the table. What would stop the introduction of some brain-teasing puzzles and stuff like that, right?
Nothing.
Well, I don't know. Maybe there would be. Maybe.
Well, I'm sure there are. Well, I mean, I guess it's matters of appropriateness. But,
I know, because yeah. there'd be protocol, right? Yeah. Like, oh, no, we don't do that. We actually yeah. do this. And this is mm-hmm. the way meetings are structured. Mm-hmm. And this is, so we kind of have to look at our barriers, figure out what are the actual barriers, mm-hmm. and are they real
yeah.
or are they fabricated? Mm-hmm. And should we just tear them down?
Yeah. Or, you know, maybe try. You don't have to tear yeah. everything. Rip it all out and start again. But
yeah.
And I think that's why humor is so important in offices mm-hmm. and the water cooler chat, you know, people yeah. just need to connect on that other level.
Yeah. And yeah. that's another thing that might prevent us from playing is worrying about what other people think of us. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not sure I'd run out and play basketball, you know, because I wouldn't want anybody to judge my skills at putting a ball into a net.
And well, compared to me, you'd be like Magic Johnson. I can hardly walk and chew gum at the same time. But why not?
I know, except right. that's one of the things that stops us, right? Mm-hmm. Is worrying about what other people think mm-hmm. of us.
And sometimes I think we make up for that need by, again, as grown-ups, hyper-scheduling our lives. Like, mm-hmm. I have volleyball and golf. I mean, what do you think golf is? Recess.
Yeah.
Structured recess, right?
Yeah. But that's, I mean, in a way, and actually we're going to talk about sports next mm-hmm. week, as a mm-hmm. matter of fact, but in a way, like structuring ourselves the same way with sports and kind of the intensity of the structured sport
yes.
isn't necessarily about play anymore.
Right.
Right. Like some people are, I've heard of just a couple stories in the last week or so about people who have taken their sport to an extreme, and they're now in training, and they go to this camp and that camp in order to heighten their ability to do this. And they're on this kind of diet. And I'm thinking, what happened? What happened to the enjoying that particular sport?
Mm.
It's different. It's just different mm-hmm. now. We are living in a more competitive society, more intensity.
Are we driven to accomplishments? I don't know. Maybe we're too worried about what other people think of us.
Yeah. Well, it's
I mean, some people love to run, and you know, and those are goals. I think goals are important, and if you want to run from here to Vernon, then be my guest, which is about what a marathon is.
Yeah, yeah.
Have at her.
That's great. Yeah. I'm just thinking that if you spend the whole year in intensive training for that, well, maybe the fun isn't there.
If the fun isn't there and if it deteriorates the quality of your relationship to your work, to your family, to your friends, oh, I can't, I got to run, or I got to get up in the morning and run.
Maybe
that's a conversation you need to have with yourself. Right. Yeah.
But as long as it's still fun.
Yes.
And you're still finding joy and you're still using it as a opportunity for play and allowing your brain to, you know, build new pathways all the time, then hey.
Exactly. And, you know, economists always talk about Canadian productivity is not as high as it could be or should be. And I think, again, what's missing from that conversation is maybe we don't play enough at work.
Yeah.
Maybe we would be more productive. So this idea that we sort of miserably walk through our day, then we go home and drink beer and watch hockey. You know, there's so much more to it than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I think it's just the scheduling thing. So we think, like, how many people say, well, I got to work, I'm going on vacation. Mm-hmm. So I got to work really hard. Right?
I know.
So then they stuff all that fun into 2 weeks and they get home. What a bummer. Right?
Yeah. It's totally true.
But, so, you know, over schedule, and we do it with our kids. Like, we just, it's just about, I think it's really about humility and being able to look at the whole picture and look at your kid and say, what would my child like to do?
Right. Yeah. And also the time, you know, when you have a half an hour and you're thinking to yourself, well, I can't start a new project because I got to do this thing, and you know, at the 7 o'clock.
Busy.
Yeah, and so what do we do? I don't know what you do, but usually that's the time I'll get on the computer and check email and stuff like that. And I think, oh, those times are when I could probably just sit down and knit, or I mean, do something that's totally
or
not
stretch. Maybe do some, you know, or a bit of yoga.
Yeah,
something. I know, we're just so scheduled, and it discourages me a little bit, but I mean, it's ultimately we are all free spirits and we have to make those decisions, but we're not in the business of manufacturing successful children.
No.
We're in the business of nurturing human beings so that they can go on, because they're going to take care of us.
Yeah.
And we need some problem solvers out of this batch.
That's right. The world is changing every single day. We better make sure that they have the ability to imagine solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now, as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Well, it's been a very dramatic week.
It has been.
We've got a couple.
Yeah. Speaking of discovering things, not a good segue.
What
was discovered? We're discovering how to play, but they've also discovered.
Well, discovered new work.
Yes.
Produced by the Group of Seven.
I know.
By McDonald.
See, you never know what you'll find.
You just never know. So this is what happens when there's private collections and people purchase straight from the artist. They're not really out there and recorded in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
a delightful find.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know more about this one. You found it. This is like, we're talking breaking news here.
Yeah, fairly recent. So McDonald, there's a collection that went to, so sometimes collectors will donate or share their collections with public galleries. This is the case here, the Vancouver Art Gallery. And in this collection was a number of pieces from McDonald, which will go on display later in 2015.
Yeah.
But I know, because again, we're so sure we know everything.
Yeah.
Oh no, we got all those Group of Sevens. I mean, there's tons of stuff out there. We just don't know. We just need to find.
Yeah.
So exciting.
It is exciting. Well, right? That's right. It's just fun to have surprises too.
Oh, and then speaking of surprise, so a band in New Orleans was surprised to find.
Yeah. Well, okay. This is actually, I should look this up again because this was a few days ago now. We're not that current.
Yeah.
An artist in Mexico, who's very famous for depicting himself in his paintings as a blue dog.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like totally blanking on his name. Anyway, he did a wedding portrait himself and his wife, and he's the blue dog, of course, the groom. And this painting was stolen right out of his own gallery. So his son actually owns this gallery. The painting was stolen in broad daylight.
Yeah, his name is George Rodriguez.
Rodriguez, yes. Of course. I can't believe I forgot that.
Depicts him as a blue dog beside his bride on their wedding day.
Yes, and it's a lovely one. You can Google it and see it. It's quite lovely. Anyway,
oh, you'll know what to see.
It's yeah, actually, I think I've seen it a few times in my life in my various art studies. So it definitely has some cachet. But later on, this band was playing in New Orleans, and
so the gallery's in New Orleans.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
it was stolen from the gallery.
Yeah, and this band member is just taking his break. He's backstage. He's looking at Facebook, and you know, he sees that this painting's been stolen. 5 minutes later, he's walking down a hall and he finds it. That's painting weird. Is just leaning up against a wall backstage in this club. Like, he's like, that painting was just on Facebook.
Yeah, wait a minute.
So it was recovered, but
I love when the universe does little surprises.
That
like
is
that.
Bizarre.
Yes, yeah.
So he's actually gotten quite a lot of notoriety over this all. But it was very nice that the painting was recovered.
Yes.
But what a weird thing to happen for this person to have stolen it, leave it in the back of a club, and then this guy is reading it on Facebook on his break.
Yeah, it's serendipity.
It is.
Yeah.
And so, like, what are the chances that you would know what that painting was if you're, you know, some musician just doing
probably
the circuit?
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll never know.
I know.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. We don't have to know everything.
No.
You know?
No, because
say, well, why this? Or how come I email this? And sometimes I say, you know what? We just don't know. Yeah. It's okay not to know.
And
just
information.
Make it up. Just pretend.
Yeah. Just pretend.
Yeah.
Information comes to us when we need it, mm-hmm. I find. Right? And so we don't have to have all of it all the time.
No.
Yeah.
I know.
And I just find if I need information, I can just go find it and it'll come to me.
Sometimes we worry too much about what we don't know and don't spend enough time working with what we do know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being okay with what we don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And also, I want to, okay, this is.
And that's an important lesson of childhood. All you ever learn is how little you know.
Yeah.
So like but Matthew will say to me, but Mom, I know how to ski.
Yeah.
I don't need lessons.
Yeah.
Really.
That's a
Everybody
big issue.
Needs lessons all the time.
I know. How do you instill that in your kids?
Yeah.
Because my kids are the same. They just expected to be good at something right away. And if they weren't, they were like, yeah, well, I'm not good at that. So I'm going off to the next thing. Yeah.
But
and
I already
I'd say, but
know.
Practice is what you need in order to know something.
Yeah.
But they would, yeah. And they were not willing to say, I don't know.
I don't know.
No.
I have no idea.
They're just like, oh, well, it's a yes or a no.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm good at that. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm going on.
Or a willingness to keep learning.
Yeah.
You never know enough.
Yeah.
Right?
And
that it's not like you're collecting points or something, but nobody knows everything.
No. And we never stop learning. And if you've ever imagined that you're at the pinnacle of your career or your knowledge or anything, you're mistaken.
Yeah.
Well, because if you've stopped, if you're done, you're dead.
Exactly. Well, what did Einstein say? Do not concern yourself with your troubles in mathematics. I assure you mine are greater. Which I just thought was awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So bright. And mathematics, again, play.
It is.
Everything is play. Word.
That's
play.
Totally
Words
imaginative
play.
Play. Talk
math
about pretending.
Is play. People are like, well, I'm not very good at math. And I'll say, well, can you play Scrabble? Yeah. Well, I'm good at math. Right?
Yeah.
Can you find change for a bus? Yeah. Well, you're good at math. Right? So,
we're kind of
over-compartmentalized.
I know. Like, what would it mean to measure yourself as being good at math? Like, what would you have to be able to do in order to be good at math, right? Where's the level? Where's the bar?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's no bar.
No, there's no bar.
No.
And they'll say, well, I didn't have a very good math teacher. Or people say to me, well, I don't know very much French because I didn't have a very good French teacher. And I think, well, why would you hand that responsibility over to, right?
Yeah, right. There's another little issue I have with today's youth.
Yeah.
The saying, like assigning other people responsibility for their actions.
That's yes.
Kind of, or for their own actions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. It's just about owning that opportunity to learn something new every day.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll learn new stuff today. I'm sure of it.
We are. What I'd like to learn is what all the unplug and play events are about. Because
great segue.
That is what inspired us to do today's show. The Literacy Alliance of the Shoe Swap does an unplug and play week during Literacy Week every year.
Yeah,
and
we do. This is year three.
Excellent.
Year four,
it must be, right?
Okay.
I don't know. The gallery's been doing the bookmaking day mm-hmm. for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So
it's just a phenomenal community event.
Yeah.
It touches, it's focused on kids unplugging, mm-hmm. but it's very focused on families. There's lots of businesses involved. There's lots of organizations helping out.
Yeah.
It's really a momentous event.
And family time is talk about building family bonds and family connections. Family playtime is what builds the longest lasting family bonds. So go and participate in all of these things year round, mm-hmm. not just during literacy week.
Don't just do it once a week. So some of the things. So all week you're welcome to help Jam the GM, which is a children's book drive at Piccadilly Mall.
Right.
I think Chuck is still at Seminar GM, but it will be at Piccadilly Mall. Then there's family board games at the Seminar Library. Everyone's welcome to bring a book to work.
Bring a book to work
what
week?
What a thought, right?
Oh my gosh, now I have to think about what to bring.
Yeah.
I was reading this very...
Don't overthink it.
Boring, long Ernest Hemingway thing. So maybe it won't be that.
No, maybe it won't be that. at the Enderby Library, you can play with Lego.
Well, that's what you would probably enjoy.
Yeah. Although there is a pancake breakfast in Sycamus and snow and ice play day on Saturday the 24th. I might have to... If there's pancakes involved, I'm usually there. you can play soccer. You can try ringette. This is another thing. You don't have to make a huge commitment. The beauty of unplug and play is just try. Like we tried, air quotes, curling at one of these unplug and plays, and we curled for 2 years.
Wow.
Met some lovely people.
Yeah.
They had fries there. It was really good. It was an hour, so the moms could sit and chat, and the boys were out on the...
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they learn then small team strategy and
and
it's a different set of skills than you learn in soccer.
The manners, you know, they're so polite.
Yeah,
the culture of curling is really
Very Canadian, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, what else we got?
Okay, so you can try curling, you can try snowshoeing. Let's see,
and I heard that the snowshoeing is up at Little Mountain, right?
I think so
you can snowshoe. And so there's actually quite a lot of
Little
snow.
Little Mountain Sports Field.
Yeah. So now there actually is snow.
Yeah. You won't get lost because it's in the field. But can see you.
But there's not very many snowshoes to borrow or to rent. So you have to track somebody down yourself. That's what I know about that.
All right. There's sliding parties. There's a magic show at the library on the 27th. And all of this will be available. All this info you can find on shoeswapliteracy.ca.
Yeah.
There are also lovely posters all over town, so watch for those. So skating, sledding, curling, ringette.
And I think all of these events are free.
Yes, they're all free.
And that's the benefit of the trial period, right? Yeah. You don't have to lay down a lot of money to try stuff. You can just go during this week and then
the only
check
thing
it out.
I see with the fee here is the pirate loppet.
Oh yes.
Through the school district, which is $5.
But yeah.
That basically is your bus fare.
But that pirate lobbit.
Oh,
so
how fun.
It is. Oh, my kids did it every year. I think last year was the first year they didn't. Even before, because their school pirate lobbiting happens between grades 3 and 7. But I homeschooled my kids the first few years. And so they were allowed to be in it if they wanted from kindergarten on. So I remember Sachi being the littlest one in the pirate loppet in kindergarten. It was so sweet because when she came in, when she skied in, you know, this huge crowd was there gathered around the chalet, right? And they cheered her in. Mm-hmm. Like it just about brought me to tears. Aww. This little tiny person skiing in and everybody's going, yay!
Oh, so sweet.
It was really sweet.
And connecting between, and the other thing about that's important about play is peer, not just peer to peer, but in between peers.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Grandmas and babies.
Yeah. Yeah. And 6 year olds and teenagers and the play between kids of different ages. Mm-hmm. So that, because that's a very artificial environment when you're in your grade with 29 other 8 year olds, mm-hmm. right? You need to be able to play with different age groups.
And to have compassion for people in different age groups.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so big kids are generally more compassionate when they're with little kids, and teenagers have more compassion when they're with seniors. So we have to, right?
Yeah.
That's why this is so important. And really everybody, I mean, there's events at seniors halls, there's events at the library. There's events at the sports rinks. You know, it's a real community engagement piece. And I know it'll be hard for some kids to unplug.
Yeah.
But try.
Just try.
Just try.
Even if you, because it's something like 7 hours a day.
Yeah.
Is average screen time, yeah, which includes some school work too, right? The, yeah, computer work, TV, movies, things
TV,
like that.
Movies.
But all, they're little devices. This is a part of. And 7 hours a day is too much.
It's too much. And, you know, take a half an hour that day and play Go Fish or,
yeah,
yeah, you know, checkers.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm looking at your list here of the Unplug and Play events. There's a huge list on here. The font has to be very tiny in order to accommodate it all.
Yeah.
So
it's
there's
really
way,
so amazing.
It is. There's way lots of information opportunities to try out. And that might start something in your family that you continue on far after literacy week.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I do want to mention that the gallery has the bookmaking day on the 31st.
Yes.
And we make a couple of interesting artistic books and then you get to take those home and create. Mm-hmm. So it's not just about the reading. It's about making your own.
Making your own. It just so happens on that day will be the next show will be open.
Yeah. Game on.
Game on, right? Yep. How appropriate.
I know.
Yeah.
The members exhibition. It'll open on the 23rd, actually. We'll talk about more about that one next week.
Yes.
So more information can be found on our website too, www.salmonarmartcenter.ca. And you can also check us out on Facebook, Salmon Arm Art Center. It was a lovely day today. Thanks
for
playing.
Thank you for coming out to play.
Yes. Oh, can Louise come out to play?
Yeah. Anytime.
We'll see you all next week. Have a great week.